Let us then also strive to be like this man. Not loving in itself is a grave fault, but it becomes more severe when one doesn't love even though they are loved in return. For if a person who loves someone that loves them is no better than the common folk, Matt V. 46. The one who does not do even this is comparable to the beasts, in fact worse than them. What are you saying, O man? Don't you love someone who loves you? What then do you live for? What will be your use later on? In public affairs, in private matters? Not likely. For nothing is more useless than a person who doesn't know how to love. Even robbers, murderers, and home invaders have often respected this universal law and have become friends with someone just by sharing a meal with them, letting the dining experience change their disposition. But you, sharing not only meals but words, actions, and daily routines with someone, don't you love? Look at those living in sin. They spend fortunes on their illicit lovers. Yet you, with a worthy love, are you so cold, weak, and unmanly as to be unwilling to love, even when it costs you nothing? And who, you might ask, would be so vile, such a savage beast, to reject and hate someone who loves them? Indeed, your disbelief due to the unnaturalness of such an act is commendable. But if I demonstrate that many such individuals exist, how can we then bear the humiliation? When you speak ill of someone you love, when you allow another to defame them and do not defend them, when you begrudge their good reputation, where is the love in that? Love cannot only be about tolerance or absence of hostility. It's about supporting and advancing the one who loves you. But when a person does and says everything to pull down their friend, what could be more pitiful than such a disposition? You were a friend one day, conversing and dining with him, then suddenly out of envy, you take off the mask of friendship and put on that of hostility, or rather insanity. It is indeed insanity to be vexed at a neighbor's well-being, a characteristic of rabid dogs. Just like them, these individuals harbor envy, attacking everyone. Having envy within us is worse than having a deadly serpent wrapped around one's guts. The serpent can be expunged using medicines or subdued using food. Envy, on the other hand, resides in the soul's chest, and it's a challenging emotion to erase. If a serpent was within a person, it wouldn't harm anyone's body as long as it's well fed. Envy, even when abundantly fed, devours the soul itself, gnaws from all sides, causing excruciating pain. The only remedy known to alleviate its insanity is the misfortune of the prosperous. Even so, it isn't satisfying enough. For even if this individual suffers adversity, he still sees others prosper and suffers the same afflictions. Wounds are everywhere. Everywhere are strikes. For it is not possible to live in the world without seeing people admired. Such is the madness of envy that even if you manage to confine a person afflicted with it, he becomes envious of the people who lived and died in the past.